Hello, welcome to Interdependent Study, our podcast where we engage in the learning and unlearning work for collective liberation. I'm Damien.
And I'm Aaron. Thank you so much for joining us today. Each week, we'll bring something new to the table, discuss our thoughts and feelings about it through the lenses of who we are and where we can go for a more just society.
That's right, Aaron. We want Interdependent Study to be a space where we're always learning with one another. I feel like we do that very well each week. Yeah. You are up this week, my friend. What are you bringing to the table today?
I am bringing the 2023 annual report from the Healing and Justice Center. This is a group whose work is focused in Liberty City and Overtown in Miami, Florida.
Yes.
And I forgot to mention this last week when I introduced this at the end of last week's episode. But I heard about this report actually from Mariam Kaba on Blue Sky.
Ah.
So many thanks to the continued education and resource sharing from Mariam Kaba on Blue Sky.
I was wondering how you found this.
So, but this report is an amazing resource to see how people are actually creating new visions and ideas of public safety beyond police. They share their mission, model, how they structure their team, the organizations that they partner with to create the center. There are highlights, there's testimony from community members. They talk about specific programs and work they do, including Crisis Mobile Center, Peacemakers, Trauma Recovery Center, youth programming, and what they're planning for 2024. So there's a lot of great stuff in here to talk about and things that we learned from this, I'm sure, about how they're specifically replacing functions of the criminal punishment system with processes that are actually like meeting the needs of the community and not just a man showing up with a gun in handcuffs.
What a concept.
To a, whatever the situation might be.
Yes.
So, you know, trauma-informed, varying modalities of treatment and how they're trying to assess what the needs of the community are and how to respond to those. They talk about youth programming. There's all kinds of stuff in here.
Yes.
But where do you want to get started? What stood out to you?
Yeah, well, it's good to know that you found this from Mariam Kaba. I hadn't heard of the Healing and Justice Center before this, so I was very excited to check this out and to learn about, you know, an incredible organization doing some really important work down in Florida. I feel like it's always fun to be introduced to something new. I agree with you. This was incredible. You know, it's another great way for us to get to talk about this idea of public safety and what it actually is, because the breadth and depth of things that actually encompass public safety is what we really need to be talking about. And this report points out that for so many years, public safety has had such a narrow definition that has truly been focused on, as you said, the man at the door with the gun and incarceration and the criminal punishment system as a whole. But we know it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
And in so many ways, I think our belief in the need for abolition is a way to get us all to collectively imagine that broader vision for public safety that actually protects us all. So yeah, this report was so good. I definitely learned a lot from it. One of the things that I wanted to start with, as you mentioned, they highlight their mission, their model, their team, their accomplishments, and they've done so much. And I guess this was all about 2023, so just last year. But, you know, they're working in these neighborhoods to provide community-based public safety to residents through lots of different ways, that mentorship, case management for folks who call their hotline, and survivors who call to get service and support, and, you know, those folks who are traditionally excluded from more traditional services, if you will. And just this idea that they're helping to mediate disputes and help people who are experiencing mental health crises in place of the police. I think that is so important and such a safer way to help support folks. And we were just talking about this before we got started, but I know you pulled some of the actual numbers. Do you want to share those?
Yeah, the highlights I thought were incredible.
Yeah.
So they received 285 calls to their hotline, intervened in 116 crises, intervened in 12 shootings, which included mediation, wellness checks, funeral support, and more. Yeah. They had 5 fights that they de-escalated. There were 24 survivors that they served through the Trauma Recovery Center, 255 youth served in mentorship programs, 7 Stop the Bleed trainings, which are for wound care and CPR training kind of things.
Right.
And there's 85 trainings that they held for staff. So this is real change in the community that we can see. That's skilled people responding to issues in the community rather than police, which is ultimately a positive outcome based on all the things that we've read.
Yes.
Even thinking back to the last report that I brought here about the ways that police violence creates ripple effects of stress.
Yes.
In Black people specifically. And so finding ways to prevent them from showing up is ultimately a hugely positive outcome in neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's also 285 people who are calling a hotline that's connected to crisis and trauma-informed responses. That's 285 incidents that don't have a police response.
Yes.
And so I think the ripples of this work will have a positive impact across so much of the community.
Absolutely.
They're the ones that they specifically serve in Liberty City and Overtown, but also probably across Miami in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I imagine. I also thought about this when you said, you know, this is a cool project happening in Florida. Like, how cool is it that this is a project that's happening in Florida in the midst of all of the authoritarian right-wing nonsense from the governor and his minions there, too? So yes. I thought that that was also great just to think about. Aside from that little piece of sticking it to DeSantis.
Yes, and all the great numbers. Yes, yes. All the great showcase of their work.
There's some very powerful community testimony to this fact that this is going to have huge ripple impacts. So there's a woman named Barbara who is quoted in the report, and she's been supported by the Trauma Recovery Center in the wake of a shooting that happened in the community is where they found her, and they were talking to people about, what do you need?
Yeah.
And they connected her with a therapist as in the Trauma Recovery Center. And so she says that she always has to be the rock for everybody around her. Mm. And having a therapist from this program means that she gets the support that she's always providing to other people.
Yes.
And so we see already how much positive impact that's going to have, because Barbara is already somebody who's doing this kind of stuff in the community.
Yeah, supporting her community, supporting her family. She loves.
Yes. And so her having more support for herself, yes, means that other people will get more support from her too.
Absolutely.
There's a reciprocity in all of this that is building, where we're supporting one person, but the support that one person provides is gonna have a ripple.
Absolutely.
Out to many other
it's
people.
Massive. It's yeah. Massive the ways in which Barbara and others who are quoted in this report are going to be able to do for themselves and for their communities. And to me, with all the numbers you shared and with Barbara's story in particular, like, it just speaks to the power of the Healing and Justice Center's work. It's not only important work, but it's proven work. It's effective work. It's working in their community. And I think that's what was so exciting for me to see and to learn about and to be able to witness some of that through this report. So I'm really glad you brought those numbers and we got to talk about that and highlight that. One of the other services that the Healing and Justice Center highlighted in this report is, and you mentioned this, was the Peacemakers Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they describe Peacemakers in the report. Quote, Peacemakers is a neighborhood patrol and community safety initiative modeled after the 2009 CRA-funded Overtown Peacemakers Project that drastically reduced crime and increased residents' use of available resources and services. Peacemakers functioned as non-armed community safety and response team and provide community peacekeeping services.
Mm.
And one of the things that I loved reading about this program was their growth this past year. So they grew from 3 to 10 peacemakers. And what initially struck me about that is that that's not a lot of people,
no,
right?
Not.
Like 3 to 10. But it reminds me of everything we've been reading lately here about abolition and this idea that sometimes the work has to start small.
Yeah.
And that it can still make a tremendous impact on real people and real communities. So that is such a powerful effect of this work and the growth that they're experiencing. In addition to the onboarding these new folks, the program itself also hosted a weekly sisterhood wellness circle. They held 2 youth community events. They launched a free diaper service. They developed a partnership with the Department of Juvenile Justice to work with incarcerated youth.
Mm-hmm.
And they just spread the word. They talked to thousands of residents in these towns to promote their program. And they did all of this last year.
Yeah, right?
Like, that to me is so incredible. And it's amazing to me to think that this program was created it and modeled after the 2009 Overtown Peacemakers Project, right? That was grant funded and able to achieve some great successes. And so to me, it speaks to the
replicability.
There it is, of these initiatives. And that's promising to me,
yeah,
right? And I hope that other towns and cities are seeing this and taking notice and figuring out how can we implement similar community-based public safety in our towns.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Having 10 peacemakers, I mean, that's a huge jump from 3 to 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a little preview for next week maybe about how small is where you start. And
yes.
Focusing there leads to bigger things.
Yes.
So another great thing that I mentioned earlier is that they're doing youth programming.
Right.
Because they recognize the ways that young people are experiencing violence and trauma in their community. Mm-hmm. And so they're focused on social emotional learning for 31 young people in after school and summer programs. That's part of the, you know, what they reported out.
Yep.
These programs, quote, introduce them to a wide range of healing modalities and healthy coping mechanisms, teach them skills to de-escalate conflict hours before it turns deadly, and develop life skills for their future, such as resume building and internships. Yes. So they're also planning a citywide peace summit for, quote, Miami youth to discuss solutions to the challenges they're facing. So that's coming later this year. And I think this is such important work to get.
I love that.
Young people to understand more about their own emotional responses to conflict and crisis and how they can navigate those things in a more healthy manner. And it makes total sense to me that this is a piece of the work that this group is doing, because it's going to have a long-term positive impact in the community, especially when you think about, okay, we're starting here. We have 31 students. We have 31 young people. Again, what's the ripple impact of those 31
Absolutely.
People who are talking to their friends about, yeah, this is how I started dealing with when I got frustrated or angry at so-and-so because they said this to me.
Yes.
And I think it's so important for this to be happening. I also think, you know, this is the kind of thing that should be happening everywhere.
Absolutely.
Like, the kind of social emotional learning that they're talking about, I think, is super impactful long-term when we think about kids in school and acting up in the ways that like puberty causes just heated reactions and so many emotions that I think it's just helpful to sit and name them
and be able to process it. Right.
Yeah. And learning those coping skills. So I'm excited for this work because I think it's not just about these 31 kids. It's not just about that summer program, but it's about who's going to be impacted and how they're going to take this learning into their adulthood.
Yes.
And then onto their kids. Like,
yes.
I think that that's the important piece of this, is you start doing some long-term planning. We start small again.
Yes.
And every time we have a positive impact with somebody, somebody learns something about how they're going to approach something differently in the future, we change what that future looks like for that person, for the people
Absolutely.
Around them. And I think that that's huge.
Absolutely. Right? Like, listening to you talk about it and reading about it, it reminds me of that this is an investment in our children, and it's an investment in our future as well. We talk about the ripple effect of that. I also love, you mentioned that they're this citywide peace summit, right?
Right.
And they're trying to involve kids in discussing solutions to the problems that they're facing. And I think any way that you can actually talk to kids and equip them and support them in, you know, coming up with their own solutions and having them be involved in that process is also really powerful, because they're the ones experiencing life in this area.
Yeah, because if you facilitate that with them,
yes,
and okay, well, you're facing this, how do we get to a place that looks like a positive solution for you? They have that skill to do that more effectively for themselves in the future too. And
they're more bought in to it as well.
So that's hugely important too.
I'm glad you brought that up. The other thing I wanted to mention that they are doing, and I felt it was so important to share it and amplify it, was all of the great work that they've got planned for this year that we're currently in. And I'm sure as we are recording this, they've probably already implemented some of this, but they named that they had plans to present their coalition model for community-based public safety to the White House's Office of Gun Violence Prevention. Mm-hmm. They wanted to launch a partnership with the National Suicide Hotline to provide in-person support to callers in the neighborhoods in which they serve. They want to build a physical hub for their work in Overtown. And they want to create a social emotional learning program for elementary school students, which it sounds like they've done in some parts. And they want to launch two new support groups for survivors of violence and a career matching program for youth. And I don't know, I read that page of the report and I'm exhausted for them.
Yeah.
Right? They've got so much going on and so many plans. But it's really exciting and incredible to think about and to see their potential, their plans for growth, and to bear witness to what true public safety is and can be for them. So I'm excited to, hopefully we can maybe track some of this that they, that they've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that they'll probably continue to release reports this that are also really well made and informative.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful, well written, well done. Absolutely.
Hey there, folks. Sorry for the interruption, but we wanted to invite you to join us over on Patreon.
Yeah, we're so excited to be on Patreon and be able to create some additional content and opportunities for us to learn and unlearn together.
That's right. We'll be rolling out some new ways you can join us in our collective learning and unlearning over the next few weeks.
So you can join for free and get some regular updates from us. And we'll also have paid tiers available as well with extra content available each month.
You can find us at patreon.com/interdependentstudy. And join us today.
That's right. You can join right now at patreon.com/interdependentstudy. Okay, now back to the episode.
patreon.com/interdependentstudy. All right, well, let's shift here. Let's talk about application. How does this report apply to our day-to-day lives? I think this report gives a lot of insight into alternatives to the criminal punishment system, which I know I mentioned earlier, but these actually lay a foundation for a future without police and prisons. These programs are abolition in real time.
Yes.
Creating trauma-informed response protocols for communities that ultimately intervene on behalf of the community instead of the police is hugely important and brings more community members into that response.
Yes.
So that you have trusted people that you know responding to the crisis that you're experiencing, whatever it might be. I think it's also a shift in how we think about what crisis response
100%.
Looks like. But these are the kinds of experiments we need. We hear about like how we need all these kinds of experiments. And these are the kinds of things that we need. We need to see them in more places. So the application for me is how do organizers create stuff like this in their own communities that share the values and ethics of these kind of programs.
Right.
Because we need stuff like this taking root in as many places as possible, because those roots will ultimately break up the foundations of the criminal punishment system as we currently understand it.
And those roots are everywhere. That's the problem. And so there's no doubt in my mind that this work could be replicated. I said the word right that time. That could be replicated everywhere in all of our communities. So that's really incredible application, that this work is work that we need to do other places.
Yep.
For sure. When I was thinking about application, this might be a little bit of a stretch, but I hope you'll indulge me. I wasn't expecting to shed a few tears reading this report, but in the introductory letter, the Healing Injustice Center names how their investment in this work is the result of millions of people who have organized over the course of these past few years to transform policing and our criminal punishment system in the memory of Trayvon Martin and Rekia Boyd and George Floyd. And I got emotional because in so many ways, it's such a damn shame that these human beings and so many others who have been the victims of police violence and white supremacy are a huge reason why this work is happening, right? That their names are forever a part of our history because of their deaths. These were people who had lives and families and friends and hopes and dreams, and they're just gone. And that's tremendously sad. And it makes me so sad to think about it. But I think it also reinforces why we need organizations like this one and others like it engaged in this work, implementing what we know to be better and just more real and wonderful public safety measures in our communities. And hopefully one day we can stop adding names to this list, these lists. Yeah. That to me is some of the important application and importance of this report, this work, and conversations like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important. How are we stopping the violence that is perpetuated by the systems that exist as we know them currently?
Absolutely.
And these are all little steps towards the end of that violence. All right, let's talk about homework.
Okay.
What are we going to do to continue our learning beyond our conversation today? I'm curious what these kinds of initiatives look like in our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
There was a lot of concern about, and there still is to some extent, about young people in our metro area and some of the things that it was perceived by adults that those young kids were getting up to. So I'm curious what organizations in our community are doing to address those concerns, maybe in a similar way to the youth programming that we talked about here, or any of the other things that the Healing and Justice Center is doing down in Miami, how that translates to this metro area and what it means to have community-based response like this here.
Right, close to home, absolutely. Yeah. I love that homework. Right, let's figure out what's happening here. I also was thinking about how it'd be great to learn more about the partners of the Healing and Justice Center in what work they're doing. You mentioned them at the start of the episode, but yeah. Sisterhood Circles, Circle of Brotherhood, Touching Miami with Love, and Dade County Street Response.
Yeah.
You know, we don't live in Miami, but I think it would be incredible to learn from the work that they're doing to help inform what we could possibly see here and advocate for here and to see what is possible and to hopefully model it and replicate it. here closer to home. So
yeah,
the partners are mentioned, but I'd love to do some digging to see what they've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you want to support this work, that's another piece of homework, I think, for me is like, how do we support this work from afar? You can, I think, donate to any of these organizations and that money will make its way to the Healing and Justice Center. I don't have a direct link to share right now, but that's always helpful.
Absolutely.
To this work. So something to keep in mind as well. But thank you for bringing those organizations up, because I think that's important to continue to mention how this work is happening.
Yes.
And you're up next time.
I am.
Because that's the end of our conversation for today.
Yes.
So what are you bringing to the table in our next episode?
I am so excited to be bringing our April book to the table for our next episode. Folks who have been listening to us know we've been reading one book a month for the podcast. So it's my turn. The book I'm bringing is called Practicing New Worlds, Abolition and Emergent Strategies, and it was written by Andrea Ritchie, who we've talked about many times before on the pod. This book was just published in October of last year, and it features a foreword written by Alexis Pauline Gums and an introduction by Adrienne Marie Brown, which is very exciting. All right, so I pulled what's on AK Press's website about this book. They describe it as, quote, an exploration of how emergent strategies can help us meet this moment, survive what is to come, and shape safer and more just futures. And then just a few sentences later, they go on to say, quote, Practicing New Worlds explores how principles of emergence, adaptation, iteration, resilience, transformation, interdependence, decentralization, and fractalization can shape organizing toward a world without the violence of surveillance, police, prisons, jails, or cages of any kind, in which we collectively have everything we need to survive and thrive.
Air horn.
Let's figure that out. and spoiler alert for us, we already figured it out.
I did.
I actually finished this book the other day. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I am so excited to get to talk to you about this book next week.
Yeah, and there's so much in it.
Yes.
I don't know. I could see this being a double episode.
It could
at
be.
Some point. We'll figure that out at another point. But yeah, there's so much. I'm well on my way to being finished.
Yes.
And I already am like, what am I going to,
uh-huh.
How am I going to narrow down what it is I want to talk about here
into
a reasonably sized episode?
Yeah.
So we'll figure that out.
What a great problem to have.
That's the tough work of this podcast, you know? It's the hard work.
Absolutely.
Really sweating.
But we love doing it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yes.
Can't wait to finish the book and also talk about it with you here next week.
Yes.
So with that, we want to thank you for joining us today. You know what I'm going to ask you to do here, but in case you forgot, please follow, leave a rating and review, share our podcast with the people in your life. Follow us on social media, including Instagram and TikTok. Check us out on YouTube. Sign up and join us on Patreon to get notified about any new things we've got going on behind the scenes.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for listening. And this week is your birthday, my friend.
So oh, it is.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank
you,
my friend.
I'm grateful for you. And folks, remember, it's not about us, but it is about all of us. We'll talk to you next week.